This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe the Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Edgar Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crisson on Sunday, October 25th, 2020. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. God bless you, and we're grateful for the intrepid ones amongst us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, in this short time that we spend together on Sunday morning, open our eyes that we may see your vision for this place and our part in it. Teach us, hear our prayers, and enable us for service. Give us willing hearts and hands. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Turn our hearts and minds to Him. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for every good gift that you give us. Father, we seek forgiveness for our sins. And Father, help us to simplify our journey as Christians, as those who truly trust in you, who believe in you, who do their best to follow you, not in perfection, but in progression, seeking to draw closer to you with every day, to draw closer to you every time we read our Bibles, every time we share our testimony, or we share love, compassion, and a helping hand with another, as maybe we sit silently and listen one to another. Father, we thank you that you always hear us when we pray. And Father, as we seek forgiveness for our sins, for our shortcomings, Father, give us strength to forgive others, to know that everyone is loved by you, that grace is available to all, and every sin is redeemable in you. And Father, as we struggle with our own character flaws and imperfections, let those things not be what cause us to lose our joy and peace, but to help us grow and gain joy and peace that is in you. And Father, we do pray for our church and community and other churches around us and churches in the world who proclaim Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, the only way unto the Father. Father, we pray for our students and our teachers. We pray for our local leadership. We pray for those who serve our country, whether that would be through a political office, or in a military service, or as an emergency person. We pray for their health care workers. all of those who come when we call. Father, we pray that you would move within their hearts and lives, and for leaders around the world, Father, that we, as your people, those who proclaim you as our God, Christ as our Lord, Father, let us begin by humbling ourselves and lifting our prayers that God may heal our nation. Father, we pray for those who are sick and shut-ins, those we've lifted up, those silently in our hearts, those written in our bulletin. Father, you know the need in each and every situation. We give you praise as we hear praises shared among us, that you are at work, that you are touching lives. Father, help us to focus not just on the division and all of the stuff, but let us focus on the good that goes on every day around us. Give us eyes to see as you would have us see, ears to hear, and the words that you would have us share. And now would you hear us as in heart and voice we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Matthew 13, 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven has maybe compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered them, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go out and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is in the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God.
We're back into the parables of Matthew again. Matthew writing to the Jewish and mixed Gentile community. Remember, a parable is a story that is told that may be related to a true thing, true event, or not. The purpose of the story is to convey a message, to convey a teaching, and that is why Jesus told parables. Here, you've got a really nice opportunity to see Jesus has told the parable to the people that are in the court, that are in the listening, and then his disciples take him aside, and he gives them the interpretation of it.
Now, there's one thing that so many people do, and I want us to be careful. Don't overcomplicate Scripture. Let it say what it says, because it says what it says. That's it. Don't try to dig. People that do that, they convolute the Word of God because they want it to say something that suits them rather than it changing them to itself. So be careful. It says what it says. I think, as I look at this, it's pretty plain that there is good and evil in the world. There is good seed sown and there are bad seed sown, but I want you to see some particular things about it. Number one, in the first parable, we're going to go through just briefly because I just want us to see that Jesus isn't veiling much. If you listen, how many of you realize there's a difference between hearing and listening? Yeah, there's a, Nick's got his hand up. I'm going to try him on that a little later on. A lot of people hear, but they don't listen. You know, it's I'll say, did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. Then what did I say? Yeah, and I send him after a screwdriver, comes back with a pair of pliers. He didn't listen. Yeah, I'm just picking. So, but the thing is that we as Christians, we need to understand some basics before I dive into this. Number one, as a Christian, a born-again Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, one for whom Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way, truth, and life, the one who has surrendered in humility to God, that person then holds this book to be the authoritative section of their life. This is where the truth is found. It isn't found on a news network. It isn't found in a magazine. It is right here. You need go no further than here in your faith journey to find the truth and the Word of God to live by. And people say, well, Pastor, I just don't understand it. Read it until you do. Plain and simple. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Get into some Bible studies. We have Sunday school, virtual or in person, every Sunday, 9 o'clock, right here. We took this apart this morning in Sunday school. We'd invite you to be a part of that. Starting one on 1 Timothy this coming Wednesday evening via Zoom. Invite you to be a part of that. Zoom invites will be on Facebook, sent out by email. If you want our email and you don't and you're not getting it, write it in the pew register so that we have your email. We won't just imagine that you want it. You got to tell us you do. And you got to tell us where you want it sent. We'll be glad to do that. And by the way, we're up to about $10 per email address we sell. I mean, we don't do that. I'm just kidding. It's just a little fundraiser. Here are a couple of things. Number one, there are believers and unbelievers. There is good and evil in the world. Now, I'm going to pick on some people a little bit for just a minute because there's something that some things we need to understand. Number one, it is a believer who has humbled themselves and accepted Christ into their life and who have surrendered their life to Christ, who find this to be their rule and guide to their journey. This informs them. This tells them what's right. This tells them what's wrong. This instructs them in how they should view their world. But the world is different. You need to understand that. And this parable is about weeds growing among the wheat or tares in the wheat. You need to understand that everybody that says I'm a Christian is not. Now, the world is trying to teach us that there is something that we can't do, and they tell us you can't judge anybody. Right? Greg, you were in the mining industry, correct? Was it important for you guys in the mining industry to notice that there were different kinds of rocks down there? Some that were of value that you were hunting and others that were not. Now, is that judging or is that observing? Observing which one you need, right? Now, I've got Jerry and Ken back here. I'm going to pick on them. They're in the lumber business. And you know what I like about the lumber business? All of it. There ain't nothing better than sawdust for a bad day. I just got to tell you, there ain't nothing like a number four Stanley sliding across a piece of oak and a nice fine curl that just lets the world go away. You just need to know that. You know, just need to know. It's just good therapy. But I've noticed that I've decided that this is oak. You know this is oak? Do you know this is oak? Do you know how I know this is oak? How would I know this is oak, Jerry? It's got that grain thing going on, right? Yeah. And if you look, you see some reflex in it. This is gorgeous. Folks, you should come look at this sometime. This is oak. And you know what else? Oak is considered to be a hard wood. And oak's good stuff. And I like to use some walnut along the way, too. Walnut's really pretty. And you know what's really nice? When you get that and you take that number four Stanley plane and you've got him sharpened up, surgically sharp, and you peel a top, a piece of walnut to make a lid, and it's so smooth. It's just like, it's just beautiful and gorgeous. And it's walnut. And I can tell it's walnut because of the color. I can tell it's walnut by the grain. You know, that's the way wood is, isn't it? You got to decide if the man comes in and he wants walnut, wood, cherry, you got to be able to tell him which one it is, right? That ain't judging. That's observing. Whether it's coal, whether it's trona, you got to decide, is that coal, is that trona, or is that waste? That's not making a judgment. That's deciding what it is. Did you know that's what we can do, Christians? Is how many of you would go to Albertson's this afternoon or over to Smith's and go in there and not be able to decide for yourself what an apple was? I mean, please tell me. Do you want a red one? Do you want a yellow one? Or you just go in and say, oh, I can't judge. Just hand me an apple. Well, they can't hand you an apple because they'd be judging it. Folks, there are observations we can make. We are known by the fruit we bear, as is a tree is known by the fruit it produces, as is the tree of the apple. It's all out there. And Jesus is going to talk about fruit here, wheat and weeds. One that grows, and you can't tell the difference until the harvest. Folks, it's okay to say some things are just what they are. Sin is sin. It's sin, period. That isn't a conviction. That's a statement. The reality is you get A's or B's based on the observation and the effort put in. Right, teachers? Follow the directions. Do the work. It's an observation that's given to you. The information is there. What do you do with it? But we live in a society today that if I look at that and say, that's an oak tree, and look at those leaves, I can tell that they're that brownish color rather than a brighter color, which means, you're judging that tree. No, I'm not. I'm inspecting the leaves. Folks, we can do that. We need to do that. If we can't do that, what in the world are we living in? What are we doing? You know, I go out there and my little truck sitting out here, and it's got an emblem on the front, wonderful emblem, Ford, you know. And you know what? I can tell Henry's got his marks on my door panels too, you know. Ford Motor Company. It's got that distinct Ford, that F, you know, that's got in there. And I go around and I look and there's other identifying marks and there's the body style. So I notice and I observe that's a Ford truck. Now, Ken probably drove one of those General Motors products in, and I can tell that that's one of those too because he had all these people pushing when he come in. I'm just kidding. But it's got a Chevrolet. It's got that bow tie on the grill and all that stuff, you know. And you can tell that it's a Chevrolet. And you can tell that it is what it is by the fruit it bears. And the Word of God says that some things are sin. And that's a statement. That's a statement, not a condemnation. I've learned in my lifetime that sometimes to fix it, I have to identify it. I can't fix it until I identify what the problem is. And that requires me to observe it. That requires me to be honest about it. It requires me to be willing to get my hands in it and get it dirty. It reminds me that I have to have some information, and we as Christians should be using this as our standard, not our newspapers, not public opinion, and not the standards of the world out there. You need to understand that there is good and evil, there is right and wrong, there is saved people and there are lost people, and sometimes they're mingled right among it, and it's hard to tell the difference. How many of you have ever wondered how good people could do bad things? How many of you have ever wondered how some Christians could believe what they do? Because everyone that says I'm a Christian is not. Let's look at the parable now and see what Jesus had to say. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to, remember, the kingdom of heaven is present, not just future. The kingdom of heaven is present. Remember, he told Nicodemus that you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you be born again. He told the others, unless you become as a little child, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. It's present, not just, if Jesus is alive and resurrected and among us, then the kingdom of heaven is also present. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed a good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy, do you see intent? This man sowed good seed with the intent of raising a good harvest. This evil person sowed an evil seed with intent to do destruction. You got that? God see that going on there? So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And he answered, An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Let that resonate for just a minute. But he replied, No. No, for gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn. The fruit we bear is that by which we are known, both in the present world and in the kingdom and in the eyes of God. It's the intent of our heart and the actions of our lives. They have to go together. Sometimes people can act, have a persona that isn't real. Sometimes you assume that somebody is something that they really aren't. So go with me now over to verse 36. And he left the crowds, and he came and said, his disciples said to him, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field, the tares and the wheat. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, that is Jesus. It is the good seed, and a good seed is expected to produce a good crop. A good seed is suspected and expected to grow a good crop, a crop that is good for nourishment or good for something. Ask any farmer. When I was growing up, how many of you have ever raised potatoes? Anybody raise potatoes? Some? We used to get certified seed. Does anybody know what that is when it comes to potatoes? Potatoes, when you go get them at the seed store, at the farmer's supply, you can get what's called certified seed. In other words, this potato has been grown and certified as a first genetic run of a particular brand of potato. Russet, reds, different ones. We would go get certified seed every 2 years because we'd use the second year non-certified seed, but the potatoes would be smaller. You see, the further it got away from the original, the less pure it was. Farmers want to sow good seed. They want to be sure that's not an old seed that's laid in a warehouse somewhere because they want to produce a good crop. Notice now, The one seed is the Son of Man, who is Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom of God. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all the causes of sin and all the evildoers. You need to underline the causes of sin and the evildoers. Causes of sin and the evildoers. People are tempted away. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. We need to understand that there are saved people, lost people, good people, bad people, good and evil, and they are opposed. You need to understand that evil opposes you. Evil seeks to destroy you. Evil seeks to infiltrate you. Evil seeks to tell you an almost truth, but it's fully a lie. Evil is opposed to the body of Christ. It hates us. It wants to deceive us. It wants to pull us down. They will grow among us, touting what, and they play us, church. We Christians who want to love and be patient and kind, they play us. They play on that very sin we need to get right here and stick with it. Don't get swayed by the seductive voices. Well, if you love and if you care and if you're compassionate, sometimes you have to tell somebody, if you keep drinking that liquor, you're going to die. If you shoot one more thing in your vein, you're not going to make it. Sometimes we have to tell people, don't go that way, because that way ends in death, pain, and misery. For the wages of sin are death. It is the truth on which we must stand. Don't be swayed. You need to understand that the devil plants among even the wheat tares. Evil is always opposed to good. You're saved or lost. You're either a seed of the Son of God or you're a seed of Satan. Do you hear me? It's always opposed. Pastor, how do I know this is oak? It's the fruit it bears. Is it dedicated? Is it connected? Is it willing? Is it serving? Does it thirst and hunger after the Word of God, Christian friendship and fellowship? Is it living in the truth? Where are we? The bad with the good. They can be found together, but they're always opposed. Pastor, here's the application. You need to understand that everybody that says good is good doesn't know what it is. A lie can just be a little sliver off from the truth. Satan deceived Eve by changing one word. God said that in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of life, you shall surely die. Satan said that God knows in the day that you eat of the tree of life, you shall surely not die. The deceptions are subtle. The deceptions can come from people you may even value. That's why our standard has to be one that is unquestionable. And isn't written in public opinion or popular cultural fads. Folks, if it was a sin 2,000 years ago, it still is. He hasn't changed his mind. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. It is difficult to know that somebody that we talk to, maybe even somebody that we trust, who we might have thought, but now we're not sure, Pastor, what do I do? Here is where you pray. Here is maybe where you sit down and have a real conversation. You see, if it's an apple tree, it'll bear apples. If it's a banana tree, it'll bear bananas. Please know that I love you here and those who watch this enough to tell you that everything that glitters is not gold. And that the only way you know is to look at the fruit that it bears. That isn't judging as the world now tells us it is. It's an observation. It's information. But I want you to look within and not so without. Because here's the hard choice. There is within us that friction. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I struggle with this Paul thing too, of my spirit knows but my flesh struggles. I go that way and I trust and I struggle and some days I get it, some days I think I got it, some days I know I blew it. But the test is this, within our own hearts, do you fully trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's where it is. For Jesus Christ reunites you by grace with God. That's where it begins. To let Him forgive you and to give you strength to forgive yourself and others. That the fruit of your life would be more in keeping of Him in your life. Our gracious and loving God, I pray that we have ears to hear, that our hearts would be open to let You move within us, that You would produce in us fruits of grace and mercy and truth. Truth with our own selves. Truth with one another. That we would be able to encourage and to help, knowing that everyone struggles. But to remind one another that we don't struggle against enemies of flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities, that every sin is forgivable, every person redeemable. Father, in Your grace and mercy, all things are possible. Father, let us live that out in our own hearts and lives, and let us share that in the lives of others. May they see in us You. May they see in us Your presence. Not perfection, but grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're planning on staying for the administrative board meeting, just hang out. We'll be done here in a few minutes. And now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you and bless you. Go to hold on to the truth of God's Word. Let it be that which you turn to determine what is truth. May we go and know that evil is opposed to us, but it cannot overcome us. For greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Go in peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.